everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. The podcast that is recommended for hand washing only. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, In the Heat of the Night. A somewhat classic film, but really, they're all classic films, right? These are Oscar winners. And just because it's a classic, does that mean it's a good film? Well, you're about to find out. I already know, and I'm going to tell you very, very soon. In the Heat of the Night is it probably is two movies in one. And I don't mean that it's two movies like one finishes and then the next one starts. It's two movies happening simultaneously. There's two ways you can take it. Let me put it that way. And I'll clarify that in a minute. The movie starts with a guy exiting a train in the middle of the night. And all we see are his legs and his suitcase. And he comes down off the train and his legs appear to be finely dressed. And if you don't know who that is getting off the train, well, you're not allowed to listen to this show anymore, because you should be able to figure it out pretty much as the film starts. As soon as we see the legs heading into the station, we cut away to a cop who is sitting in a diner finishing up a Coke, and he's just having a mellow night. He packs up his stuff, and he heads out on patrol, starts driving around, and what does he find but, of course, a dead guy laying there right in the middle of the street. Now, all of this takes place in Sparta, Mississippi, which I'm pretty sure is a fictional town. But if it's not, it should be. So there. Sparta, Mississippi is a small town, kind of a Mayberry kind of place. And they don't really have big crimes there. And you can tell that this is the case because once they find the dead guy, pretty much everybody shows up to check out and see what's going on. And they have to find a local kid with a camera to take the crime scene photography and whatnot. And the chief of police, very reasonably, because they don't have these kinds of crimes in their town, says, hey, probably a hitchhiker. Go out and see if anybody new is in town. Well, cop drives around for a bit, shows up at the train station, looks inside, sees an African-American gentleman who looks amazingly like Sidney Poitier sitting there reading a book, and pulls out his gun and says, you're coming with me, kid, and marches him off to the police station. Well, joke's on them, because it turns out that Sidney Poitier, yes, it actually is Sidney Poitier, is a cop from Philadelphia. And he's just passing through, visiting his mom, and he's heading home. He's just changing trains in the middle of the night. He doesn't know anything about it, of course, because if he did, the movie would pretty much be over in about 5 minutes. And it wouldn't be that remarkable for the police to have arrested a black guy in the 60s in the South. But they pretty quickly figure out that he's legit. And they kind of drop the suspicion, although they're not pleased about the fact that he's African-American. And so they don't drop that suspicion. But they need help because he's a homicide detective, as it turns out. And none of the local cops, because they don't really deal with homicides, is qualified to handle this. So he ends up sticking around a little bit, and this is where we get into the two-movie thing, because the first movie is a mystery, and it is a mystery movie you're trying to figure out, and this is the plot of the film, is trying to figure out what happened to this guy, why he was killed, and reconstructing the events that led up to his death. The other part of this film, and arguably the much, much, much more important part, is that it's a film about race and people and how they react to each other. And really, the mystery is kind of an excuse to make all this other stuff happen. Because the local cops are, you know, I mean, I hate to stereotype, but they're white cops in the South in the 60s. They're not enlightened people. Let's just say that. And neither are most of the townsfolk. There are some other people that come into play on this. There's the mayor. And he is, Well, we never really find out how he feels about all this stuff going down, but he's a pragmatist, and he wants to get the crime solved because the guy who got killed is the guy who is going to build a big factory in this town that was going to employ about 1,000 people. And his wife is down there, and she's from Chicago, and she's saying, hey, I don't care who you get to find out who killed my husband, you find out who killed my husband. That's the way it's going to work. Or we're taking the factory, we're packing up, and we're going home. So they have an incentive to solve this crime, even if they're working with somebody who makes them uncomfortable. Well, the key to this film, through it all, and to me, one of the highlights, it is the major highlight, is the level of depth that you see the different characters and their motivations as far as dealing with the racial issue. It's real easy to look at racists, and, you know, this is a subject that I've given some thought to, but it's real easy to look at racists and figure that they all just kind of go in the same cupboard. They're all just part of the same category, and they're racist, and that's it. And, you know, maybe that's a convenient way of looking at it, but you've got different levels of racism and different styles, I guess you'd say. And some people are probably ignorant because they've just never given it another thought. It's just never occurred to them to question the way their world is constructed. You've got other people who are very hardcore racists who want to keep down this other group for whatever reason, economic, you know, ego, whatever. You know, just power trip. And you've got people who are maybe somewhere in between there. You've got people who are more benign, and then people who are more pragmatic about it, possibly, who are, you know, they're racist, but they still want to get things fixed. And you see all of these people in this film. You get the whole spectrum, and you see the depth of the interaction between all these folks. I know I'm being a little vague, I apologize for that, but I don't want to give too much away of the film, because I'll say it right now, this is a buy it. This is one, I want to see it again. I already sent it back on Netflix, but I'm going to pick it up and watch it again. And so judging the film on its two levels, the first being the mystery story. As a mystery story, it's not bad, but it's not great. The ending is a little trite. And, you know, convenient. And it's not one of those things where they figure out the mystery and you go, oh, yeah, wow, now it all makes perfect sense to me and everything snapped into place. It's not one of those. They wrap up the mystery and they solve the crime and they move on. And, you know, it is what it is. But when you get into the human interaction aspect of it and the racial interaction, it really shines. Now, if I have to critique the actors, Sidney Poitier, excellent actor, of course, we all know this, but I've seen him in a few movies now, and when he's playing a character that's confronted with racism, one thing I don't understand is, and he does it in this movie, and again, I'm looking for a reason to critique, he's good in it, but he always seems to be surprised and kind of out of his element when he's confronted with racism. And I've seen this in several movies where, you know, it's like, here's an African-American guy traveling through the South in Mississippi, of all places, in the 1960s, in the heart of the civil rights era. And apparently he's got family down there. His mom lives down there. He probably grew up down there. And yet, it doesn't really seem to occur to him right away that the cops in the middle of the night finding him in the train station are going to be incredibly suspicious based on the color of his skin. I'm not saying that they should be suspicious, but you'd figure that, you know, this is something that, I mean, if I was in his position, I would be worried about this. And it does. And he really seems kind of surprised to be confronted with that. Rod Steiger is the sheriff. And let me just say as a side note, I never watched the TV series of In the Heat of the Night, because they did make a TV series with Carol O'Connor in the lead role. I never realized how much Rod Steiger looks like latter-day Carol O'Connor. My goodness, they match. They could be brothers. But that aside, Rod Steiger, this is probably the perfect role for him. And he's awesome in it. He He brings a lot of depth to it. I know I've used that word a lot in this film, but it applies. He brings a lot of depth to the role. He's a meaty, just curly-haired, kind of disheveled guy. He looks like you'd expect a small-town Southern sheriff to look. Not making a stereotype, just he's not fit. He's a guy who's had a few plates of grits probably, and some scrambled eggs in his life, and he's just trying to keep the peace. That's basically his job, and yet. Even though he starts off as maybe not the worst racist in the film, certainly not the worst racist in the film, he's also a product of his environment, and he hasn't given it a lot of thought, and he's ignorant of the way of enlightenment, if you want to put it that way. He hasn't really reached the point where he's thinking about race relations. He lives in the town that he lives in, and this is the way things work. By the end of the film, and even before the end of the film, you see the cracks in the shell, and you see him starting to understand Virgil Tibbs, who is Sidney Poitier's character. You see him starting to understand him. You see him reaching out to him. And the relationship between these two guys really makes the film, and the characters around it. So this is absolutely a buy it. It's a great film. I'm very glad that I got a chance to see it because I had never seen it before. And I'm recommending it. Go out and do yourselves a favor. It's brisk. It's about 2 hours, and it's a good thing to check out. Next week on the show. Next week on the show, Oliver.
Oliver.
Yes, it's Charles Dickens set to music. I've seen the stage play. I've never seen the film. So this should be an interesting one. I understand they are a little different, which I find shocking. Absolutely shocking. No, it should be entertaining. I did like the stage play, so... We'll give it a shot. It's a musical, but I'm sure I can work my way past it. I'm becoming enlightened as I see more musicals. Is that possible? No, of course not. Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. Until then, I am Pete Pollock. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a good week, everybody. See you real soon.